Thank you for taking the time to listen to one of the recent sermons preached at Wilton Baptist Church. It is our desire as a church to strive together in building a faith, family, and future that honors and glorifies our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we can be a help to you in any way, please visit our website at wiltonbaptistchurch.com.
Amen to that truth today. Mark chapter 5, in your Bible, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Have you ever said the wrong thing at the doctor's office? Have you ever described something the wrong way or used the wrong term? I've done that before. Maybe you have. Some of the more peculiar ailments described by patients could include this: a migrating headache, a prospect glands. How about scat cans of the brain? One woman requested a monogram. Another complained about the palms of my feet. Another person told the doctor right before an operation, "Don't worry, if anything happens, my son has the power of eternity." Sometimes we just use the wrong thing and the wrong phrase, the wrong place. Newlywed Josephine Dixon was always slicing her fingers and burning her hands in the kitchen. And nearly every evening, her husband Earl would come back from his job and devotedly patch her hands up with the best sterile gauze that he could find. And so he would apply those with bandages, the old bandages that you would wrap. But they would keep slipping off of Josephine's fingers as she would go about her work. And so one day he came upon this idea as he was thinking through this, that he used the gauze that he had and the bandages, but because she would have the need of those bandages throughout the day, he put a kind of a wrap on the other side of it so she could then peel it off and put that tape with the gauze in between on her hands and her wounds any time of the day. And about a year later, Johnson & Johnson started to produce the Band-Aid. That was back in 1920. It was out of necessity that that this invention came, 1924. He went on to become the vice president of the company. We all talk about medicine and doctors, and we'll say, "How do you feel today?" And we'll discuss that, and we'll talk about doctor's visits and who's ailing and whose foot hurts and what all's happening with us. And it's good. We can discuss things like that. In this passage, we can look at this and learn about the greatest health care advocate. The greatest health care advocate is Jesus Christ. And he's really doing incredible things in this passage. Let's begin reading in Mark chapter 5. No matter what ails you or someone else today, know that Jesus Christ can help you. Look at the passage. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Now keep in mind, in the early part of this chapter, they went across the Sea of Galilee. He went across for one purpose. It was to meet that man who was full of demons. He cast out the demons. The city people say, "Well, we don't want you here," because they lost a lot of their money that went away in the livestock that died on that day. And so he comes back to the other side, and people start to gather once again. Verse 22, "Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Look down, if you would, at verse 35. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." I underline those words, "Be not afraid, only believe." Verse 37, "He suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn. But when they had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha Kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. They charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be brought or given to her to eat. When discussing medicine and tests and health care and all those things, you'll hear people say, be your own advocate. Don't wait for the doctor to call you. Call the doctor. You hear things like that, and that can be good advice. Know your own body. These are all good things to know. Being an advocate of your own health is necessary, and it's a good thing, and I would encourage you to be an advocate as well. But be careful, because sometimes we forget the greatest advocate for our health is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may have a disease or a sickness, and maybe you know what it is. Maybe it's undiagnosed, and maybe the flu has hit your household, and you wonder why, and you ask, what if, and what medicine, and what should I do, and I'm going to try to figure it out. That could be good, but listen, we cannot forget God in this important area of our lives. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22 says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Jeremiah was asking a question. You know, there are medicines and there are doctors. Why are they not healthy? And he was speaking of in a spiritual sense. Folks, the Bible is full of health advice. From diet and moderation to exercise and medication, it's all found there. There are doctors. There's preventative health tips. For example, the Lord told us thousands of years ago, if you want your hands clean, you use running water. That wasn't something that the FDA came up with. The Bible tells us that. It's from years and years ago. There's many things that God tells us. Take a day of rest. Avoid certain foods in excess. The physical and emotional and spiritual connection of the human trichotomy is well documented, not only in medicine, but in the Bible itself. Because how you think and your outlook and your spiritual life, that does affect your emotions, and it does affect your physical well-being. All of those things are connected. It's well documented throughout history and in the Bible. For example, Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bone. And so your spirit and your spiritual life, your emotional well-being, your person, your outlook, and your physical well-being, all of that is connected in Scripture. I like what God said in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You want a good book to read about medicine and doctors from a Bible perspective, the book, None of These Diseases, taken right out of that verse of Exodus 15. Two medical doctors, Christian men, wrote that book. It's a tremendous resource. I encourage you to get that book and read it. None of These Diseases is the title of it. Now, while being our own health advocate, and while being the advocate of our family, and my kids, and my people around me, for you, say the same thing. Don't forget God. Don't leave God out of it. Sometimes we act like his parents. You know, I'm going to do everything that I can do to make sure my kids are not sick, but we leave God out of that. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we include God in our health and in our well-being. Sometimes we act like we're in the place of God. If we take matters into our own hands and dismiss the Lord from the hospital of our life, listen, it doesn't matter what you do. If God's not in it, or if God's not for it, if you're not following the Lord, you won't learn or see what God wants to learn or see through the sickness. Ask yourself this question. Do you trust God with your health? Do you trust God with your health? Sometimes people are afraid to live life because they're afraid to get sick. They're afraid about what will happen to me if I go there, or what will I do if I get sick. And they don't live life trusting God. Now, some sickness considerations before we look at this passage in greater detail. Number one, sometimes sickness comes to help us be more like the Lord. You know, why am I sick? I don't know why. Why can't I walk? Why can I not do what I used to do? Or why was I born with this disease or this sickness or whatever it is? Well, sometimes sickness comes to help us be more like the Lord. In Psalm 119, verse 71, the Bible says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Sometimes sickness comes as a form of judgment. For example, those in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 11 who were taking the Lord's Supper unworthily, some were sick, and some even died because they were sinning against the Lord, taking the Lord's Supper in a flippant, casual type way. Disobeying God, that was a form of judgment. Sometimes, and know this, good to know, sometimes sickness it comes to teach us or others a lesson. Why am I in a hospital? It could be to draw someone else to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did I go through this surgery or this? Well, it could be so that you can connect with someone to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they could see the grace of God in your life while you're facing that disease or that sickness. Know this today, another observation of sickness. Sickness never comes without God knowing about it. Don't think, God's forgotten all about me. God knows all about it. He knows the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He knows all about it. And then finally, all sickness can be used to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Job is a good example, because through all of the boils and all of the pain and agony and suffering, at the end of the day, at the end of that season of sickness, the Lord was glorified as he was facing that sickness. Job is a good example of that. Now, in our passage today, Jairus is a ruler in the Capernaum synagogue. His 12-year-old daughter is on her deathbed and about to die. In desperation, this man comes, and I could just imagine that she's been sick for quite some time. And just think about what we read about this verse. Jesus had gone across to the other side. He was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And now he comes back, and perhaps Jairus has just been waiting to hear some news. Maybe he was praying or hoping that this miracle worker who had gone across the sea would come back, because he had heard about the demons cast out, and he had heard about people lame that were walking and blind people now being able to see. He had heard about some of those miracles even there from the synagogue. And I just wonder if he was hoping or praying that maybe this miracle worker, Jesus, would come back this way because my daughter needs a miracle. I believe perhaps he was praying that way, or hoping at least that the Lord would come back. And so he hears word that Jesus has just come on shore. And immediately he goes out to find the Lord Jesus Christ, to find some help for his ailing daughter. She's at the point of death, and this man is desperate for the life of his 12-year-old. We all call our firstborn baby girls, don't we? The baby of the family, probably the baby of the family. And he wanted to see some help for her. Let's consider today the greatest health advocate. His name is Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. As we consider this passage, we pray that you would teach us your word. Lord, we pray together that you would increase our faith. Increase the faith of each man and woman here today, that no matter what illness we may face, or what disease could possibly even take our life, that we would ultimately not rely on medicine or man, but that we would trust you, that your will would be done, whatever it is. We ask for your grace and your help at this time. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. The greatest healthcare advocate is Jesus. Let's look at the motivation as we begin. In verse 23, notice the Bible says, "And this man besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." This is important to note here, this motivation for healing, if you would. We'll just call it that. He was asking for healing. He wasn't asking for himself. He was asking on behalf of his daughter. He believed that the Lord could do something about the health that his daughter was experiencing. He bowed down and worshiped to begin in verse 23 and praying on behalf of his daughter. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I love our prayer times. On Wednesdays, we pray. We pray quite a few times in our format on Wednesday nights, and we pray for each other. And people raise their hand and say, you know, so-and-so's sick, let's pray for them. And we're doing exactly what this man was doing. We're going to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're asking, Lord, would you heal this person? Would you perform your will in their life with this disease or this sickness that they are facing? One person said this about the Lord, he who formed our frame made man perfect whole and made the body's health dependent upon the soul. Folks, they go together. And the spiritual interest of your life, it does impact the physical well-being that you have today. And there are many people that run around and doctors who cannot explain it and people who just want to live life apart from God. And there's no nourishment and no encouragement and no real spiritual help apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. This man realized the only thing that could help his 12-year-old daughter was the Lord. Now, whether she dies or not, he went to the right place. Whether Jesus heals her of the sickness or not, this man could have great comfort and peace, the comfort and peace that only come from Jesus. So this man bowed and worshiped. He believed that Jesus could help. Let me ask you something. Does God answer selfish prayer? Does God answer selfish prayer? Sometimes we'll pray amiss because we consume our prayers upon ourselves, our own lusts, our own desires. This man wasn't saying, you know, I want my daughter to grow up and be this, that, or the other. Lord, would you save her so that I could see her? He wasn't praying a selfish prayer. He was just saying, Lord, you could touch her, you could heal her, you could spare her life. There's no selfish motivation whatsoever with this. He could help Jesus, or Jesus rather could help him. He believed that. But many times what we do is we'll pray for ourselves instead of praying for other people. Lord, heal me, help me. We'll wonder why we're so discouraged when we feel pain or when we have sickness, because our lives then are focused upon us. You see, this man wasn't focused upon himself. It was not a selfish prayer. He was praying for someone else. Faith is required for a response from the Lord. This man believed that God could answer his prayer. There's an old Swedish proverb that goes this way, fear less, hope more. Eat less, chew more. Wine less, breathe more. Hate less, love more. And all good things are yours. So really, that just speaks to moderation. The Bible speaks to moderation many times. The motivation, he's asking for healing. He bowed down and worshiped. He believed that Jesus could help. Number two, the medicine. He was asking for a touch from God. Look in verse 23. He besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Lord, if you would just touch her, she would live. She would be okay. He bowed down and worshiped, but then he asked for a touch from God. Now, we can speak about prevention here for just a moment. Let's consider this girl and her upbringing. Friends today know this. Prevention of disease or sickness will not keep you 100% healthy. Isn't that true? You can isolate yourself. You can take all the best vitamins in the world, but you still could get sick. Prevention cannot keep you 100% healthy. There's a 4-year-old named Matt. He was being screened for pre-kindergarten. And in this pre-screening session, they were testing his hearing and his eyesight and his speech and his motor skills and all those types of things. And at last, the nurse stopped and asked this question and emphasized the importance then of washing hands before meals and asked him about that and said, germs from our hands can get on our food while eating. And he said this in response. He said, ma'am, he said, I don't need to worry about that. He said, we use forks at our house. You know, prevention. Prevention, sometimes we take a lot of stock in that, but really, we need to trust in the Lord. Here was an otherwise healthy 12-year-old girl that was near death. Eating proper foods, she was in a synagogue. Exercising, her family would have emphasized that as well, knowing the Old Testament scriptures. They would have used there at the synagogue and being one of those temple religious-minded people of the Old Testament type of thinking, they were especially interested in cleanliness, the best soaps, the best cleaning practices, avoiding sick people. You know, the people with leprosy, they would stay away from them. Others with sickness, they would stay away, a lot like we do as well. Folks, they were very good at isolating people that were sick and staying away from people that they thought were sick. And this man, this father, he was of this type of thinking from the Jewish synagogue. The Hebrews that were in the synagogues, the temple types, if you would, were religiously clean. Remember when the disciples of Christ were walking through the field and they grabbed some ears of corn and they started to eat and Jesus said, it's all right. But those scribes and Pharisees, they were following the Lord around and watching the disciples to see what they would do. What did they say? They said, well, they didn't wash their hands. They didn't wash their hands. That's the type of person this father was. That's probably how he was there in the synagogue and there in his own household. These men and their families were systematically and ceremonially clean. There's not much physical dirt in their lives. They were about as clean and as isolated as you could think of a clean place to be today. And I want to avoid sickness, and I want to stay away from sick people, and we're going to clean, make sure we're not going to get any sickness around here. That's how she would have grown up. But in spite of that, she's at a point of dying. I don't know what kind of sickness it is. I don't know what kind of fever she was running or what kind of symptoms that she had. But he went to the right place. But know this today, prevention is not the only thing. We need the Lord Jesus Christ for help. You can do all the preventing you want to, but if you're going to get sick, if God wants you to get sick, you'll get sick. No matter what you scrub and how well you take your vitamins. Know this, as the story turns, Dr. Jesus, if you would, walking through the hospital of Capernaum, he stops by this interlude in the story beginning in verse 25. Look at what the Bible says. Before he gets to help this 12-year-old girl, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Here we find that physicians cannot cure everything. Prevention will not keep you absolutely healthy, and physicians cannot cure everything. This lady had an issue of blood. That is some form of a chronic hemorrhage. She could not stop bleeding, and it had been many years. She had tried many painful procedures. Notice how it says she suffered many things of many physicians. She had all kinds of ideas that doctors would come and give to her and say, do this and do that, and it caused great pain and great suffering. But there was no healing with this, with whatever they were prescribing. You know, in the past, in history, we know there's a lot of painful procedures people come up with. I mean, I guess it worked a little bit, but it wasn't really good because, you know, using a leech to suck blood out of you, that just don't sound like that's a good of a thing. Whatever else, you know, putting people and stretching them, trying to stretch out their back, and all the types of things that have gone on in the past. You perhaps know of others. She tried many procedures. She tried multiple doctors, doctor after doctor after doctor. The Bible says here, it's emphasized in Luke as well, that she spent all of her money, everything that she had, and yet no relief. I don't believe she was a poor lady to begin with. I believe she was a well-to-do person. She had a lot of money at one point, and she had invested every little last cent that she had in trying to get better. But she grew worse, the Bible says. She grew worse. Physicians can do a lot of good. I'm thankful for positions. I have a lot of family and people. I know a lot of people here in healthcare as well. Thank the Lord for physicians, but it's not 100% dependent upon them. You can prevent all you want to. You can see the best doctors if you can, but it's not all up to that. You could say about her, with all the doctors that she would go see, maybe the doctors on TV, she would have gone to see them. She would have gone to see someone like Dr. Oz. He would have given her carrot juice or something. You know, she probably would have been scheduled to how to cope with the diseases of my life with Dr. Phil and try to learn how to psychologically overcome what was going on. You name it, she went to see him. She went to see and found out the best medicine that she could, but to no avail. In my youth, my family doctor, his name was Dr. Adams. He may be retired by now, I'm not sure. But I like Dr. Adams, and I would go sometimes with a sports injury or with just merely growing pains or sickness or something, and he was very helpful. With great compassion, this time-tested doctor, he would say something like this: well, everyone has pain and everyone has hurts, get over it. With great compassion, he would say, you know, you hurt a little bit, take some Aleve and forget about it. I mean, he helped me a lot. I'm a lot like that today. You know, somebody's complaining, well, did you take some medicine? Well, don't complain then. I'm kind of like that in my home. Natalie will testify to that. Go see the doctor if you're hurting. You know, he kind of instilled some of that in me, I suppose. Well, what is the prescription? What did they really need? Both of these ladies, what did they need? They needed a touch from the Lord. They needed a touch from God. That's what she does in verses 27 through 39. By the way, faith is the answer. The Bible says that she dried up immediately. She touched his garment. She dried up. However, wherever she was bleeding, it all worked out. What changed? She was healed. But how did it happen? How did it happen? She trusted the Lord could heal her. She'd seen doctor after doctor. By the way, that little girl had seen had you know, a clean environment. They both were sick. They both were having problems. But they both went to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what was the difference? It's faith. Look at verse 30. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy," what's that word? "Faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." The prescription was to be touched by the Lord. It was for faith. Now, should we play with fire and expect not to be burned? No, we should not. The Bible says that. It's very clear. Proverbs 6:27, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes be not burned?" No, we wouldn't do that. Snake handlers, people are foolishly putting themselves in harm's way. Folks, we should not tempt God. What did Satan do with Christ? He took him up to the top of the temple, this tall building. He looked out at everything, and he said, "Jesus, why don't you jump off of here and see if your angels will catch you?" And what did Jesus said? "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So while we trust God, we're not going to be foolish with what God's given to us with medicine or prevention or with being foolishly putting ourselves in harm's way. We do not live foolishly. Folks, faith is evidenced in how we respond to the sickness. Maybe not so much in the prevention of it. But Lord, what am I going to do now that I am sick? And how am I going to trust you that your will would be done if I'm healed or not healed, that I'm just going to believe you that your way is best? Faith is evidenced in how we respond to sickness. And no one would ever go make a hospital visit or become a nurse or go and visit or help someone if they were afraid of sickness. Because we could all be exposed to sickness just by living life. And I'm amazed many times that people say, "Well, I don't want to go to church because I saw someone sick," but they'll go shopping at Walmart. And he'll grab a hold of that cart that everyone has put their snot on. Oh, come on, you see that, right? Hey, let me tell you something. I see people sometimes picking their nose and reach their hands out to shake my hand. I wash my hands a lot, so just so you know. I've seen people, you've seen it as well, people sneeze, and they'll do that, and hey, how you doing? Okay, we can get sickness anywhere. You can get it at Walmart, you can get it at the place you like to go out to eat, you can get it at church, you can get it at school. Listen, we are to live life. We are to live life trusting God. So why just go through life, not living life? Because in reality, if I'm afraid to do life like God's called me to do life, I'm saying, God, I have to just sit at home and trust that my place is clean enough so that I don't get sick. And in reality, what we're saying is, God, I don't trust you to take care of my health. I'm going to trust me to take care of my health. I cannot live life because I am not really trusting. Faith has to come into our lives somewhere when it comes to our health. God does not heal every time. Sometimes it's His will that someone remains sick for a long time, sometimes for a lifetime. Sometimes it's God's will that a person is recovered and they come back to a normal, strong, healthy life. Sometimes it is that God uses a disease or a sickness to take their life and they go into eternity. The point is, we need faith no matter what the outcome is. Trust God through the sickness. Faith is the prescription that is needed for every sickness that we have or could potentially have. The blind man in Matthew 9:28, when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus saith unto him, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Can he heal a blind man? He did. The mentally troubled son, the demon-possessed son, in Mark chapter 9, Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He was saying it to the father of this man. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And friends, we need to be like that when we're facing sickness. Lord, I believe, help it when I don't believe you. When I'm afraid, I try to just take matters into my own hands. Lord, help my unbelief. Should we go to the doctor? Yes. Should we take medicine? Yes. Should we eat right? Yes. Should we have exercise? Yes. Should we do all of those types of things? Yes. But we do not trust in those things. We trust in Jesus. You could get an A+ on all of those matters and still get sick or come down with the disease. It's just, Lord, whatever happens, I'm trusting. I'm trusting. We should do all this. Nancy took her 6-year-old son, Sam, to the clinic. She explained to the doctor that the doctor then explained that he would give some pills with a prescription. And Sam immediately asked, do you mean medicine with scripture on it? Yeah, we need medicine with scripture on it. We need some faith. We need faith in facing every day. Jesus Christ is our greatest health advocate. Motivation. The medicine is faith. Ask for a touch from God. The motto, look in verse 36, if you would, as the story then turns back. This lady is healed. The story turns back to the daughter. Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, can you say that with me? Be not afraid, only believe. Let's try it again. Be not afraid, only believe. That should be the motto. The health of every person who is there. Be not afraid, only believe. You see, fear, it says, fear not. Verse 36, fear not. Be not afraid. Diseases may kill you. Fear not. You may die. Fear not. Your child may get sick. Fear not. You may lose a limb. Fear not. You may go undiagnosed. Fear not. Fear not. Be not afraid, he said. Years ago, an evangelist, he's preached here before, told Natalie and myself a story. He had another family who traveled with him in evangelism, kind of like we see the assistant evangelist like that. The assistant evangelist and his wife would conduct music and conduct the children's club. This husband and wife had a nursery-age toddler, this little boy that they would bring with them, and this mother, this young mother, their first child, this young, was afraid in every church to put their baby in the nursery. And every week, a different church, you know, traveling in evangelism like that, and she didn't want to expose him to all the germs, wanted to keep him with her at all times. The evangelist said, you need to put your child in during the church nursery services. He said, you just need to do this. You need to do what you can to keep your child safe, to keep your child healthy, but you also have to trust God with the child that he gave to you. He told this young mother, God loves him more than anyone. The evangelist admitted, some of the church nurseries aren't not that clean. Some of the environments just don't look that appealing. I understand that, but he said, you've got to trust God. She opposed that. She said, no, I'm not going to do it. This is the assistant evangelist's wife said, I'm not going to do it. She wasn't going to put the baby in a nursery. He just left it at that, even though she was arguing about the conversation ending. The very next week, the lady was getting ready for church. And she was blow drying her hair with the electric blow dryer while the baby was standing or was in the bathtub, splashing around in the bathtub. And as she was hair drying her hair, suddenly she dropped the hair dryer into the water. Nothing happened. With tears, when she got to church that morning, she said to the evangelist, you were right. I must trust God. Hey, let's trust God. Let's trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our health advocate. Fear not, he says. Be not afraid. Trust God. Now, verse 35 is interesting. Because while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? You know, everyone has a solution they want to offer. When you're sick, oh, here's what you do, right? Everyone. I mean, people who know what they're talking about and people who think they know what they're talking about, they all have an idea or multiple ideas of what you should do to get better or to get over your sickness or disease. I've heard all kinds of things, you know, nutty diets from drinking certain types of water. I mean, anything you could think of. Everyone, I've heard a lot of ideas you have as well. We must trust God. We must trust God. Here somebody says, don't even bother Jesus. Don't bother the master. She's already dead. That's what I think you should do. Don't even worry about it. She's dead and gone. It's already over. The sickness took her life. Yes, she was dead. But we must trust God. You may suffer a little bit. Trust God. Your loved one may die. Trust God. People may laugh at you. People were laughing at Jesus when he said, her death is temporary. That's what he was saying when she sleepeth. She's dead, but it's just a temporary thing, is what he was referring to. People may laugh at you. Trust God. You may not understand. Trust God. Now, there were a multitude of people inside and outside of this house. In ancient days, people would hire mourners. I don't know who it was that perhaps hired these people to come, but it was a lot more than just the friends and family who were there for the death of this 12-year-old. I mean, when you think about this, she was sick, and by the time that she was sick and died, somebody had already, by the time the message came over to where the man was, had already gathered up people to mourn her death. So maybe there were these professional mourners that were there. I don't know. It seems to indicate that as you look by their response. You know, they start to laugh in the scorn in verse 40. But Jesus dismisses everyone but the family. And he goes in and he tells her to arise and walk. And you know what happened? Exactly what Jesus said. That girl, 12 years old, who was dead, she was dead, rose up and walked. You know who the greatest healthcare advocate is for your life, for your family? Lord Jesus. That's who it is. Now, her death was temporary. Jesus said, she's sleeping. She's sleeping. Friends, know this today. Death is temporary for the Christian. Well, I'm going to die of some kind of a disease or sickness. It's temporary for you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've asked Him to be your personal Savior, death is temporary. Now listen to this. The sickness, it can be a lot of trouble in the meantime. But death is temporary. The nuisance is the sickness along the way. Jesus will one day resurrect all believers. The resurrection of life. There's the rapture that we as Christians are looking forward to. And we know that when we meet the Lord in the air, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And the Bible says that He'll give us a new body. We'll have a glorified body, a body that will not die, a body that will not suffer sickness, a body that will not feel pain. Amen. For those and only those who know Jesus Christ as a Christian, the resurrection will take place for you. The resurrection for life, an eternity with Jesus Christ in a new glorified body. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. And everyone here today, if you've ever had any type of pain, you would look forward to that as well. All of us then are looking forward to that. Have a new body to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? What was the prescription for all of these people? Faith. Faith. You know what has separated us from God? It's our sin. Make that relationship right. You need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the gift of eternal life. Jesus died on the cross. He shed His blood so that we could be forgiven of our sin. We were singing about it here earlier today. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Your eternity has the sickness of sin on it without Christ. But because of Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross, you can be forgiven of your sin and be right with God for all of eternity. Then, believer today, are you demonstrating on a daily basis? You know what? I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to live life trusting God. Are you living that way? At one funeral service of a Christian man, he had died of cancer. Many are fighting cancer today. At this funeral was read this poem. The title was, Cancer is So Limited. Cancer is so limited. It cannot cripple love. It cannot shatter hope. It cannot corrode faith. It cannot eat away peace. It cannot destroy confidence. It cannot kill friendship. It cannot shut out memories. It cannot silence courage. It cannot invade the soul. It cannot reduce eternal life. It cannot quench the spirit. It cannot lessen the power of the resurrection. Amen. And amen. Let's bow together and pray together. Thank you for your good attention here today. As we consider our health, do you trust God with your health today? Oh, let's live life trusting the Lord. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Harness, God has challenged me that I would not solely rely on prevention or physicians, but I'm going to realize that Christ, as much as I would advocate health for myself, He is the greatest health advocate. I recognize that. I'm encouraged and helped by that today. If that's you today, would you raise your hand? God's taught you that. You've been challenged in health. Oh, amen. Hey, no matter what you or your children are facing, He's the greatest help family. Take the medicine. Go to the doctor. Trust God. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Harness, God has challenged me that I'm not saved. He said that believers would receive a new body, they would go to heaven. I don't think that would happen to me. If I could have my sins forgiven, if I could be saved, I realize I deserve death. I deserve hell, but I want forgiveness. Jesus came to give you that forgiveness. I would like to be forgiven of my sin and know that I have eternal life. I have no doubt about it. I want to know that I have eternal life. Right now, I don't have to doubt about it. I want to know it as a fact today. Is there anyone like that? If I could be saved, forgiven of my sin, I would like to know more about that today. Anyone like that? Raise your hand very quickly. I'm the only one looking around to see any hands raised. Amen. In our invitation time, let's talk to the Lord. Let's commit any family member who's sick to the Lord. Anyone facing disease, go ahead and pray like this father prayed for his daughter. Let's recognize who the great physician is, the greatest healthcare advocate is Christ. Let's go to him today. Father, we thank you for your word, how you challenged us today. I pray that you would bless each one with the decisions made, increase our faith, we consider our health. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.